KFI AM 640, it is the Conway Show, and Dr. Ray is with us. This Dr. Ray segment is being brought to you by AGA Medicare Options. Get a free no-obligation consultation and get the right Medicare option for you. Go to AGAMedicareOptions.com. Dr. Ray, how are you, sir?
Tim, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, man. I love when you come on because everybody gets crazy over the weekend, and you come on and you tell them to sit down like children and listen to the good doctor, a world-class pulmonologist out of St. Joe's in Orange County. Now, I got a bunch of questions here online. Can we start shooting them at you?
Absolutely. Go for it.
All right, here's one. Here's one from a guy named Tim Conway Jr. All right, Pfizer came out with their vaccine, and they said their vaccine was 90% effective. And then AstraZeneca came out a couple days later, or a week later, and said that theirs was 95% effective, 5% higher than Pfizer. 2 days later, Pfizer changed their number to 95%. This is the type of deal that makes people a little nervous. Is that something they just overlooked, or is it something they said, okay, if they're 95, we're 95?
No, I think the CEO didn't have exact numbers. And he was just thrilled. He was thrilled that it was that high. And
right.
Probably somebody from the science department said to him, hey, man, this thing is over 90% effective. So he goes out and tells the world.
Right.
And then they actually looked at the data. And I think the data was actually 94%.
Right.
So they came out and they said, no, ours is that good, too.
Okay. All right. But, so that's something people shouldn't worry about.
No. And here's the thing. For a vaccine, that's awesome. I mean, that is
great.
Really awesome. Yeah, that's in the neighborhood of the polio, the measles vaccines, and so on. You know, flu vaccine is happy to hit 60%, you know?
And I believe the polio vaccine took a little longer than, 4 months.
Yeah, years.
Yeah. All right, here's another question for you. This comes from John Colbell from the John and Ken Show. I guess a local radio personality here in Los Angeles. And he said,
I think I know who that is.
Yeah. Is there any science behind the fact that people are getting sick and dying during outdoor seating and outdoor dining?
Actually, no.
No.
And in fact, LA released a series of numbers today that showed that they traced their restaurant infections back, and they decided that the 3.1% of their cases came from restaurants. Well, that's an incredibly low number.
Right.
So they don't have any data. But here's the thing that I think is probably more significant. When I tried to look that up, and I did this a couple weeks ago, actually,
right.
The place you would find that would be among restaurant workers.
Okay.
Because if there was a lot of infections coming out of restaurants, restaurants workers would be getting sick. They're not. They're not
right.
getting sick. It's kind of like the supermarket people. You know, we thought that the people working in supermarkets would really have a tremendous exposure, which they do theoretically. There's people in supermarkets all the time.
Sure.
And initially they weren't even wearing masks. Now they wear masks. But the supermarket workers aren't getting sick at an increased rate either. So my answer would be I don't know of any definite data. I know of the 3.1% coming out of LA, but I think that's a very low percentage. And the fact that the restaurant workers aren't getting an increased case rate of coronavirus leads me to believe that there is no increased infections in outside restaurants.
Excellent. All right. Here's another one for you, doctor. It comes from a guy named Tom Parker, right? Colonel Parker. Please ask Dr. Ray if he knows which people will receive the vaccine next month in December. As I hear, some of the drug makers are going to request approval in a few days. And I read somewhere that people over 65 may need to wait until January. Thank you very much, Colonel Tom Parker.
Yeah, actually, there is a protocol, and I have not seen it published in terms of actual numbers. But here's the general sort of the way that they're going to prioritize it. It's going to go to all the states. It's going to go to the frontline responders first. So this would be firemen, police, medical
personnel,
ambulance drivers, stuff like that. The second line, I think, was
traffic reporters.
Medical personnel. No, I think after the first responders and the medical personnel, I think it was teachers, and then I think it goes eventually to the older folks, and especially those in nursing homes. And then it goes to the vulnerable general population. I think it's something like that.
Right. What about our own Mondo, one of our producers and also our board op four nights
right.
a week? He had a heart transplant and a kidney transplant. Is he even a candidate for it, or is it going to be too overwhelming to get him?
No, he'll get it. He's definitely vulnerable because of his rejection drugs. He'll be high on the list. But not until after I think the first responders are going to get it.
I see.
And you know, if you think about that, that makes sense. We need those people to take care of us.
Sure.
And those people are getting sick at an increased rate. So it totally makes sense to get them immunized as quickly as possible.
All right, here's another one for you, Doctor. Then we got to take a quick break.
Okay.
People under 20 have a 99.97 survival rate. With that population, are the fortunate 0.03 with immunodeficiency issues. If we know a kid is otherwise healthy, the illness is not a concern. We could have exposed them, though, isolated them, and making their immune system work harder. So anyway, here's the question. They could have also been free for months, scaring away. Instead, we lock them up and we make them wait for the million-dollar cure. Does pharma have a motivation to make it seem worse than it is until they get their share of the money? I don't think that's true.
Oh, I don't think it's true either. I think big pharma has done a really wonderful job on this vaccine.
I agree.
They pulled out all the stops now. It's in their best interest to do so, because as I said on this show before, this is not going to be the last coronavirus that's going to hit the world. So they want to be first in line, and they want to prove that their vaccine technique is the best and da-da-da-da-da. They've already got contracts with the federal government, billion-dollar contracts. They've got contracts with countries all around the world. They're going to make the vaccine available at cost, but that's still going to be expensive. I mean, you know, the Pfizer vaccine is going to be like $20 a dose. Moderna, I think, is somewhere very near that, 15 to 25. I think this new vaccine, AstraZeneca, is going to be like $250 a dose.
Wow.
Now, that doesn't mean you're going to pay $250. In fact,
right.
You're not going to pay for any of these. The federal government's going to pay to get the country vaccinated. And you know, that's nice. I mean, that's good. That's humanitarian. But they're basically doing it because they've got to get people back to work.
Sure.
They don't get taxes unless people are working. So it all, you know, it's all, everybody's operating in their own perceived self-interest, but they're also operating to do the right thing by the public, too.
Right. Real quickly, yes or no, or one or the other, is the death rate higher amongst kids from COVID or suicide?
Oh, I would guess suicide.
Isn't that
a shame?
Oh, in fact,
I know suicide. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely higher than suicide. Yeah.
More kids who have to stay home and can't go to school, can't socialize, are dying from suicide than the COVID.
Yeah. And it's actually also higher with influenza, regular old influenza. Now, COVID is worse than influenza for the older folks, but influenza is worse for the kids.
Right. Okay, doctor, can you stay with us? You're on fire tonight, by the way.
Absolutely. Okay.
It's like bang, bang with you. All right. Very good. We're on with Dr. Ray Kasheri, man, the world's greatest pulmonologist, to answer questions about COVID. We'll come back with more information for you, where we're going with this. We're live on KFI. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. Dr. Ray is here. He's being brought to you by AGA Medicare Options for free, no obligation consultation. Get the right coverage. Go to agamedicareoptions.com. Dr. Ray, man, the questions are pouring in online. Are you ready for a few more?
Sure, let's go.
Here we go. Dear Dr. Ray, this comes from Tom Burfield. Restaurants seem to be bearing the brunt of the COVID-19 restrictions. I'm wondering, Dr. Ray, that's you, I wonder if you feel this is justified or an overreaction on the part of the government officials to make it look like they're doing something to fight the virus. Thanks, Tom Burfield.
Well, I don't know what their thinking is. I think they're all well-intentioned individuals, but I do not understand scientifically why the restaurant industry is being singled out. I've gone to restaurants. I've had outdoor dining. I've had some indoor dining. And, you know, in well-ventilated restaurants with high ceilings and everybody's spaced far apart, I feel completely safe there. I don't understand why this industry is being picked on. And some, like, when you're at a retail store or a grocery market, I think you have just as much exposure. So I don't quite understand it. I do know this, and I've said this before on this show, and I don't understand why we don't think this way. We look at the positive effects of closing the restaurant industry, and we say, well, gee, you know, 3.1% of the cases are there. We're going to save some lives. First of all, I'm not sure that's proven scientifically. But what we don't look at is what are the downsides of closing the restaurant industry. I saw an estimate today that 700,000 people will lose their job in L.A. County because of closing the restaurant industry. That's a huge downside, not to mention all the industries that feed the restaurant industry. And these people who are losing their jobs are not high-end people. These are jobs where they're making less than $50,000 a year. They need this money to pay the rent. And, you know, if the rent market collapses, then the banks start foreclosing on properties. I mean, this thing really is bad. And I don't know why we don't have a discussion about the cons as well as the pros of a certain action.
Well, it's almost as – look, I'm obviously not serious here, but it's almost as if the governor came out and said, I don't know what to do, so I've got to do something, so it looks like I'm trying to help.
Well, I think you're not alone in that. I've heard a lot of other people say that too. I don't think it's that capricious, but I just don't understand where the science is to pick on the restaurant industry and close it. And I think the people in the restaurant industry have gone way out of their way to meet every requirement with the masks and the shields and the plexiglass and the social distancing and the outside tents.
Right.
You know, they've really tried to do it.
Well,
and
you know, Doctor, you pointed this out last week, and it was a great point. But when our governor had dinner up at that, you know, wet laundry joint up in Northern California, and he got caught. Well, whatever. And he got caught. He didn't apologize because he could have gotten somebody sick or killed. He apologized that he got caught.
Yeah, it was bad show, and he recognized that, and he apologized for that. But really, if he believed that he was going to get sick by going to a restaurant with indoor dining and a crowd of people talking very loudly for 4 hours, he should have said, gee, I could have got COVID or I could have spread COVID, but he didn't. He said it was a bad example.
Right.
And I think that's telltale.
By the way, is it possible, Doctor,
he believes his own thing?
Is it possible that, Doctor, that people are carriers of this disease, but they test negative?
Oh, yeah. There's always a false negative rate and there's a false positive rate, too. There's both. And what happens a lot of times is you get the virus, you have it in your system, but you test on maybe day three,
right?
And you test negative. And then on day five, you might test positive. But even people like on day five could test negative and they have a false negative, or they test on day five and have a false positive. I've come across recently a lot of folks having false positives. And the way they know that is they subsequently get tested and test negative, and then they test even further down the line, and they don't have any antibodies. So they never had the virus.
Growing up, whenever I got a compliment from my mom, I always thought that was a false positive. She goes, hey, you look good in that suit.
You know, Tim, You're really hard on your mom, but she must have done something right, right? She raised all those kids. I mean, geez.
No, I bust her balls. I thought, look, she had a great sense of humor, and I think it's funny that, you know, that she does take the brunt of it. But look, she had six kids, five boys. She suffered from depression before antidepressants, and my dad was working 18 hours a day. So I get it. I get it. But there was a level of anger there, Doctor, that was a little unusual. I got to be honest with you. I did not see that level of anger in any one of my friends' parents before I met my mom and since I've met my mom. I have not seen that level of anger in any mother I've ever met in my life. How about that?
Well, that's difficult. There's no doubt about it. And terrible. Alcohol may have been involved. You know, I don't know.
Well, I don't know, but she enjoyed herself playing bridge, which is a very competitive game. And when she lost, she flipped out, right? I remember her getting home one night. She came home from bridge one night at 2 o'clock in the morning, and she was really, really pissed off because she lost on the final hand or whatever. And she wakes us all up Friday night, 2 a.m. We're all in our pajamas or underwear, and she makes us go outside and clean the yard because we left some bicycles and some, you know, tennis balls or, you know, basketball or whatever we were playing out there. And we're literally out there freezing our asses off in January, February, walking around this wet grass. I'm thinking, man, this has got to be, there's got to be something wrong with this. There's got to be something going on here that I can't see. All right, Doctor, I really appreciate coming on. You are the best. We'll see you Thursday. And again, what's that great restaurant you love to go to in Orange County? Let's give that guy a little plug.
Mascarpone's on
Mascarpone's.
I was there. Yeah, I was there last week. But by the way, Tim, Thursday is Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right. We can't do Thursday. We'll see you Monday then, right?
Yeah, next Monday. Hopefully we'll be in better shape by then.
Absolutely. Have the best Thanksgiving ever. You and your wife, your whole family. God bless you. Thank you for coming on, and we'll talk to you Monday.
You too, Tim. Take care.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right, there he goes. Dr. Ray Kasheri, man. Nobody in the world like that guy.